disclose that the number of graduation summons that have been preached and heard and prompted for gospel is under the blessing of God. One of the real assets to the church today. In my own life, there have been memorable sermons. The first for the class of 1927 was a saintly, now sainted Pastor Marcus Wagner. Based on that beautiful word from St. John 9, Schweier auf die Erde, must ein Schweifel aus dem Tod, legt es auf das Linden aus. It spit on the ground and made a mud out of the spittle and laid it on the blind man's eye. Touching times in the first part, we were reminded. Said, "Your Lord, I quote, you're only mud." Part two that the Lord uses, part three, to help the needy. The second sermon lies right in the midst of you here, Dr. Franklin's Raham on the Trumpet, where he addresses you to your perception as war horses and work horses for the kingdom. The Pope was a Roman Catholic bishop down in Oklahoma who assured the Pope, and he got a great deal of applause for it, that he was not going to speak at all. He was just going to remind the group of a few things. Then he proceeded for 30 minutes to remind them of things. Particularly, he said he wanted to remind them, classically, the little things. Such as the wind that was swishing around the islands out there, but it had blown out of rest of these many years in the Garden of Eden, in Bethlehem, in Jerusalem, at Machpelah, the graves of the saints of God had grown along the ways and under the arches of the great monasteries. And even the telephone was brewing sometime with a little help from Wittenberg and Worms, and all through them in Oklahoma. The most common are my great sermons that I have heard about those who were graduates, and the writer of great words, great preaching, and a great divine. And I wonder whether that's sufficient for a day like this. I thought that the only reason we could come together here tonight was to say, you are not alone. The questions that await you all out there have been answered long ago. They've been answered fully. There's nothing out there that hasn't already been taken care of. There's nothing to be taken for granted out there. Except the one great fact that complacency is being challenged every day. There are going to be questions, surely, probably the most radical and bewildering tests. And they will be hurt and they will be despair, and all of us in the face of a seemingly meaningless evil, we will never speak of that house again and again. But will I never say that this is the test that I can do? The challenge of today has been entirely different. Man is not alone. And therefore, no man dare to be complacent. No man need to despair. No man need to be less than the full potential that is in God. He can't excuse himself to the escapism of indifference. The simple question, is man alone? The gospel has answered long ago, no. Man is not alone. God is, and he takes our part. We say again that the church does not need a gospel which is relevant. The church is created by the gospel and continues to exist. Because of the God of the gospel, keeps her in existence. Christians are not called to be relevant, they are called to be saved. healthfulness and a freshness that belongs to you forever. And as they are renewed in us and through us day after day, these great doctrines shine with a relevance for man and his among us. Through the work of the life is a very simple one, you'll not be able to forget it. God will come to you again and again in the blessedness of every holy week. We have God. We have the peace. Christ came to us in the heart. And we grant the reassurance of a word like that coming from Jesus, Lord and Savior, addressed to the men in whose hearts there was already reason and discernment. Do it means that love me, and we know this as we know ourselves. The bright refreshment, the smart sophomore, the cynical senior, the staunch seminarian, and the Missouri physician. Unhumility, they were pride. Unhumility. Not afraid of anything. We have the answers, not all the same, mind you, but answers. We don't always have Christ, but we have hope. Not only the fear of God, but a sensible approach to the future. I ought to speak to ourselves over and over again. And trembling, I've been reduced to that by fear, procrastination, lack of leadership, lack of study, lack of courage, lack of the right connections in the church, lack of money. But I'm friendly, like all among them. I come at you, my tail wags. You will know me as a friendly preacher. This reminds me that the view from the bathroom window in an 85-year-old apartment in the depressed area of Chicago at 3:30 a.m. on Saturday morning. Voice on the phone and said that the man would make it to the dawn. That view is no vision of the golden street, or God walking in the garden, or armies watching the silence to celebrate the victories of the faith obtained by the great preacher in St. Luke. And after the man is preaching stairs, you say it to yourself very soft because you need it. Outside is such a dirty world of dilapidated houses, abandoned cars, and empty puppies, lights glowing in the dark, the parents see the light burn, the need to be worrying about their youngsters. But most of them couldn't care less about where their youngsters are from somebody else. And you will know that tomorrow morning you take all the shakiness and all the fears of 40 years. It is a pulpit with you again. And the small glory of this, anything left at all for you and for your people, to see that quiet word. You at least have loved. You believe that I came to the Father. You will have to remember again, it is my function to impress, to instruct, to inspire, to improve. There are hard lines. And you will remember that God hears every word of every one of my sermons. How you must feel by somebody. These words of the Savior come out of an hour's parting. He was saying to his disciples that the last great test, the right before them, he was saying that he was not going to grade them according to knowledge or wisdom or intelligence or aggressiveness or promotional skills or executive abilities or whatever else awaited us. But besides this thing that he said, you'll be knowledge, your gift. And faith that the Father has sent him even for this agonizing hour, which was bringing him a separation. Perhaps pick up his words, and in spite of our shortcomings, Jehovah Daniel more confidence for the kingdom of God by trusting it and acknowledging its word, rather than by approaching it with suspicion or contempt and implying that it is only unworthy and faithful. Often the only means of making generosity come alive at all is by talking about it even before it exists. Then become at times capable of playing the most heroic part simply because they have been taught something else to assume it. And if the assumption has gone so far as I turn my back that you know I know you the truth, that's the way the fall always comes to bed. You would be the soldier. I have all my weariness and all my gloom and disappointed thought of it. This astonishing word would revive and gladden me if I only had faith enough to believe. Is there pride in meditating on it and thinking that it is true? That it is true of all those here before me? That it is true of all those in your family who have supported you to this very hour, and of all those who have taught you so faithfully these many years in the church, and that it is not false within me. In truth, I love you. You who made me and redeemed me, you will not leave me lost or forsaken. And this is not the fruit of pride. As long as we understand that love in us and strength in us and faith in us is the following of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and is only the obedience to the divine initiative, it's all rooted in Him. The love which joins me to Christ and joins you to Christ is the gift which comes from Him. How then should I be sinful in admiring it? And saying that it was strong, and in affirming that it is good, that it is great and wonderful, that it is the strength of the whole ministry. Only those heretics who think that they are themselves the source of their own virtue, or those old time Pelagians and the source of our own time, they withdraw their thoughts from God, and they contemplate what they imagine they have made of themselves, by their study, by their work, by their skill. That's why we can humbly admit that there is nothing good in us except by the grace of God and the working of His Holy Spirit. That's why we can humbly admit the truth of His word to us and His ministers, telling that He's not mistaken in the cause of His prayer. One of Luther's last letters in the ninth century, he wrote these words. What a slogan that should be for our ministry. You know it. It is called compassion. And in spite of mourning and of tears over men, that grand company of the ordination who carry out among us, since the beginning of Christianity, the tradition of the ministry. God, we love. You alone, O Lord, have stored up the immense harvest of active love, which has sprung up for centuries around our lonely country outposts, in the larger congregations in our restless and teeming cities, and in the outposts of fear and uncertainty. What have they not done for you, O Lord? These crusaders of the wicked. And what have you asked of them, O Lord? How have you not by fire and sword, by rebirth and reformation, recalled them from the love that you have seen? For after these family and something, like Abraham going out to the border of the Chaldeans, lives for you alone, that dies without complaint, only bears this one thing, that they desire only you. You store up memory and name to something like the will of power, and yet it is only you. There is a pain that you have been the center, the sun, the light, the pain, and the peace. Thank you.
Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The fact Enforcement Committee of the faculty and the college of district presidents, none of this year's graduating class or the preceding classes have done as so into calls in parishes, missions, and educational institutions of the church. With the entire church, we rejoice in our entrance upon the Holy Ministry. The diploma attests to their fitness for this ministry also attests to their profession of obedience to the sacred scriptures and their subscription to the Lutheran symbol. May I now ask you to make this affirmation, which will be repeated at your ordination into the Holy Ministry. Do you solemnly affirm that you acknowledge the prophetic and apostolic scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be the Word of God, and to be the sole source and normal doctrine set forth in the confessional writings of the Lutheran Church? As each candidate for the Holy Ministry comes forward, I authorize you to deliver to them their diplomas of fitness and the instruments attesting to their call.
Thank you.
City of Kansas, Richard Hinch, Cambridge, Maryland, Sarah Gomez, South Island, Mississippi, Douglas Bellamore, New Guinea, Michael Grove, Scudder, Massachusetts, George Perry, Cambridge, Illinois, Ralph Petersville, Kentley, Minnesota, Trent Heberman, Easter and Parker, Kansas, Daniel Hunter, Jonesboro, Wisconsin, David Hunter, Upham, North Dakota. Now the God of peace, that God of you who has died in our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sea, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working on that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Walter Herman, Pomeroy and Mackey, Iowa, David Hicks, Montgomery, Alabama, Dale Hirsch, Ozark, Alabama, Daniel Hartman, New York, New York, Herbert Cooper, India, John Hooker, Vincent, Indiana, Charles Huska, Minneapolis, Minnesota, David Huber, Noblesville, Indiana, our ex-husband, Macon, Missouri, Albert Eisler, Hanford, Fenimore, California, Ronald Jansen, Winona, Minnesota, Donald Jerkey, Eugene, Oregon, Jerome Johnson, Fairbanks, Iowa, Charles Jones, Chicago, Illinois, Stephen Kepler, Rushmore, Hay Springs, Nebraska, James Casper, Deerbrook and Elkloop, Wisconsin, David Kerr, Elkadia and McGregor, Iowa. Thank you. Columbus, Elizabeth, and Pelican Rapids, Minnesota. Irvin Zagicki, Wellesley, Petersburg, Poole, Ontario. Edmund Royer, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Carmen Reaver, India. Lawrence Rosa Jenner, Hartwell, Indiana. Wayne Wentz, New Orleans, Louisiana. Roman Schindler, Ghana. Jerome T. Sherrill, Denver, Colorado. Frank Schoenfeld, St. Louis, Missouri. Richard Schroeder, Deadwood, South Dakota. James Schenke, Belfort, Saskatchewan. William Schultz, Allenton, Missouri. Christ, when the whole family in heaven and earth is saying, strengthen you with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and keep you faithfully his service and the ministry to his people, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Frank Starr, Morgan City, Louisiana. Farm, South Lake, Michigan. James Stephens, Truco and Torrington, Alberta. Eugene Sparrows, Northbrook and Deep River, Iowa. Richard Fair, Ellis, Tremont, and the Altos, Texas. Edward Frost, Wamego, Kansas. Raymond Wilson, Evansville, Illinois. Charles Wainwright, Washington, Illinois. Will Winterstein, Lebanon, Oregon. Theodore Zimmerman, St. Paul, Loup City, Nebraska. Walter Zolkin, Comstock Park, Michigan.
If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
James L. Clark, Missouri, Illinois. Adam Cooper, Oakland, Illinois. Adam Hurley, Grosse Pointe, Michigan. Robert Hoffman, Bronxville, New York. Joseph Menzing, St. Louis, Missouri. Samuel Masker, Canyon, Antunes, Texas. Paul Picard, St. Louis.